The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voice.
Offering 2.0 with Jerry Kirk as an attempting servant. This is February 10th, 2022. Sure that you all know the date. However, for the archives purposes, I'm supposed to give the date out. And I consider this very important. I want to thank the board ops very much. I have requested from the board ops they not give out my phone number. This past week, somebody called the board ops, asked for my phone number. They said no, as they said they would. However, that individual got a hold of somebody else that knew my phone number. He berated that man, if you will. He repeatedly asked him, what's Jerry's phone number? Well, that man didn't give out my phone number. He did listen to the man for a while. That man did call me, and he says, Jerry, this guy's a complete idiot, okay? I don't need to have that problem in my life, and I very much want to thank the board ops. At the same time for thanking for that, they have a heck of a job that I don't think a whole lot of people have really the understanding of them listening to a show, planning what they can get done, taking care of problems, and stuff like that. I'm not trying to ingratiate these guys or, you know, ask for any favors, but they have a difficult job. And every once in a while, every individual that listens should realize RBN operates because of the board ops. So I thank you very much to the board ops for doing that. Okay, now I'm going to begin. I'm supposed to say this. I forgot. The call-in number is 512-248-9252. I'm going to be hitting a number of subjects tonight. And if I have finished one, you're welcome to call in. And if you don't get on and you want to go back to something that was already discussed a little bit, that's okay. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is in 1991 was a very difficult year for me. Because number one, I found out I was a quitter. That doesn't make, on a subject that I really was into. But I quit halfway through fourth grade on that subject. Started again, and I go, uh-oh, you really foobarred yourself. So I recognized the fact that I was not living or attempting to live the Father's law. Well, there were a whole host of things in front of me which I knew I needed to do homework, but there was one that was real easy for me. And it tells you in the good book, sell your raiment and buy a sword. Raiment's all your fancy clothes, all your fanciness, all that kind of stuff, and buy a sword. Well, being an individual that when he wants to do something and he knows something, he wants to do a good job. So I went out and I started doing research on swords. I came up with an idea because all the swords that I was finding, they would rust. And they were really all that strong. So keep doing research and I come up with a black stainless steel product. Couldn't find any swords like that. Well, that's not a problem if you got some grocery money. So I ordered in some, found a guy that could sharpen it, found a handle, big handle, and made it. Now, when I made it, I had never had a sword in my hand, and I was a little bit younger, you might say, back then. And so I worked on, you know, moving it, stepping around, things of that nature, and I said, okay, well, I'm doing okay on that. That was after about 4 or 5 days of exercise. I said, well, I wonder what I can do with this thing. So I went out, and I found a one-inch pine tree. And, phew, I mean, it went down hardly. Wow, that's pretty interesting. So then I went to a two-inch pine tree. I mean, it went down like, you know, butter. I said, wow, this is something else. No bend, no curve, no nothing to that sword. Couldn't even tell the blade had been touched. Get a three-incher, same thing. Got a four-inch pine tree. Hit it, and I worked, you know, when I hit that one, I hit it hard, but I got through it. And I looked at the sword, not a dadgum problem with it at all. So then, I found a five-incher, and I whacked it as hard as I could, and boy, I'll tell you what, you talk about a vibration coming up my arms and into my shoulders, and I just, like this. I said, well, I think I know my limitation. I waited a few more hours. And I said, but just in case, let me go find a six-inch pine tree and see if I can cut that puppy down. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't make it. I got about halfway through that puppy, and I put that sword away for about 2 or 3 days, and I said, you know, that was some real serious vibration. So that's my story about buying a sword. Today, I still have that sword. I had a custom sheath made for it, so forth. Took me a while to find somebody to make a leather sheath the way I wanted it, but I got it. Now, I still have that sword. Well, 31 years later, I kind of wish I would have had it a little bit less weight. I don't seem to be quite as strong with it, and I wouldn't mind it being a pound or two less. Now, some people have said, oh, well, I've got a firearm, I've got a shotgun, I've got a .45, I've got all this and everything else, and I've got 1,000 rounds. Okay, I hear people saying that all the time. You know, I can't imagine me having to carry 5 or 6 firearms, 1,000 rounds with each one of them. But if that's what they want to do, they can do it. But, you know, they don't have a sword. That's an order from the only begotten Son. Go out. Sell your raiment, sell your fancy stuff, and buy a sword. Now, I don't know when or if I will ever have to use a sword, but you know, I got one, and that was my very first step of trying to learn and keep the Father's laws. I just thought I'd share that with you a little bit, because that's something that you can do. Now, you don't have to go find a big old fancy one, this, that, and the other. You can find something else, or whatever's good for you. but he said to buy a sword. Have you done what the only begotten said to do? Buy a sword? Think about that a minute. Okay, the next thing that I want to get into, if you don't mind, is I want to get into something called Ruby Reds. I mentioned it last week. Nobody called in about it. So now I'm going to go ahead and go into Ruby Reds. In 1968, there was a movie called Mission Impossible. And on that movie, this one of the Mission Impossible guys, he put in these contact lenses. And he was able to see marked cards. Well, and I went over and sat at his table. I said, hey, Doc, did you see that garbage on Mission Impossible about sticking a contact lens in your eye and being able to read, you know, cards because of some kind of magic disappearing ink? He looked at me and he says, Jerry, he says, you don't know what you're talking about. They've got those things. They're real. I said, come on, Doc. Anyway, about 4 days later, the doc showed up and he says, Jerry, you know, you've got to have, these have to be registered. And you got to have a license for these. Because they don't want people going into, you know, using marked cards. And I said, what? Are you kidding me? He said, no. He said, they're called Ruby Reds. Now, he was obviously my eye doctor. He knew what my prescription was for my contact lenses. He said, give them a try, boy. I said, all right. So my eyes are normally a blue or a green. I put them on, and they're red. They're actually red. And I looked in the mirror, and my eyes were black. I said, what? You got to be kidding me. I mean, that's just what I'm looking at. My eyes now are, they're black. They weren't red. You know, you get a darker blue, make your eyes more blue. You can get a green or darker green, whatever. My eyes are black. I thought that was amazing. So I decided, you know, well, let's give this a try. Well, I learned something very quickly. First time I got in a car. You know what a stoplight is, you know, red, yellow, green. Well, all those colors were a different color. I mean, this is amazing. It changes colors. And I'm going, wow. So anyway, you know, I know that. And now I get around some females. Females, I could see through their clothes. Now, if you don't think that's shocking to somebody, that was very shocking to me. And that was not very good. I didn't like that. Now, there were some beautiful girls. And, yeah, I'd look and I'd go, oh, look at this. They're beautiful. But some of them were married. I don't want to look at any married girl and be able to see through their clothes. And I'm talking about seeing through their clothes. I'm not just saying, you know, I mean, you could see the areolas, da-da-da, all that kind of stuff like that. But then you run into girls that I really don't want to see through their clothes. So after about 2 months of trying to adjust and trying to make excuses for myself, I went back to the doc and I said, here's these Ruby Reds. They're back. A long introduction to my point. How many people do you know that are 78 years old that do not need to wear reading glasses? Well, there's somebody comes on TV, you know, once, twice, three times a week, see him in news conferences. He doesn't use any reading glasses. But you know what? Somebody that is, you know, been wearing contact lenses since they were 16 years old, like me, the reason I'm wearing contact lenses, or had to wear them, is because my eyes got burnt by salt and chlorine when I was 8 years old. Okay, big deal. You know, people say, who cares? Well, that's why I was wearing them. Otherwise, my eyes were perfect. And I also hold a world record of wearing the same prescription since I was 16, and I've more than tripled the world record of wearing the same prescription. I've had them tested and tested and tested, and they can't get me a better prescription. So I heard hold a world record that I would not wish on anybody. So let's get back to this guy that's wearing contact lenses. When he's wearing contact lenses, you can see his eyes, and you can see him squinting. And then there's other times his eyes are not squinting. Now, if you go back and you take a look at some color videos of this man prior to running for president, you will find that his eyes were brown. Now his eyes are black. So what's the big deal? Well, if you want to get on eBay, or you want, well, not exactly on eBay, but get on YouTube, and they have something called smart glasses. They're on the market right now. You can buy them. Now, the two wings, the things that go over your ears, they happen to have, right there, an audio, so you can hear what somebody is talking about. And right on the nose plate, which is, you can't see it, that is a speaker, so that you can speak to somebody. In the glasses, they take and you can read the internet if you want. You can be on your email. You could be, you know, whatever you want. And you can do that with these glasses. So what's the point? Biden doesn't wear glasses. I'm here to suggest to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, with the technology that they have, that he has contact lenses, that he can see, and that's why he fumbles and bumbles, because he's reading off these contact lenses. They're the exact same thing that they have in these glasses, smart glasses. And that's who we have as the leader of the American democracy. And you might say, oh, what a jump. Here's glasses. You know, you can go look them up. You can watch the thing. And they're actually out there. And people want to tell me, or they might want to tell me, oh, no, they couldn't do that with contact lenses. Well, of course not. They can't have the contact lenses talk to you. They can't. You can't listen through those. But don't you think there's another way to do that? That's what the man is doing. Again, I ask you, do you know anybody? I don't know anybody, and I do know somebody whose eye vision was beyond belief. Beyond belief. He could see in the dark that nobody could see. He, and it with no prescriptions, no nothing, he could read stuff that was minutious. It was so small. He gave me a test. I had good eyes. I had to get a magnifying glass to read the letters that this man could do. And he wrote them in front of me. And he went step, 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 step down. That particular man was court-martialed during World War II. Not for his abilities. They said, this is impossible for you to do this. And at the court-martial, instead of having an attorney, he just stood up and he said, look, this is real simple. Right now, send somebody over to the eye testing and have them change all the order. They were accusing him of, you know, knowing the order and cheating and stuff like that. It says, go set up a new test where you got a complete new darkness, complete new letters, everything like that. And if I can't pass that test with 100%, court-martial me. Now, about 2 hours later, they took this man over there, and guess what? He passed the test. They could not believe it, okay? And they actually tried to court-martial him on another issue at one time. But I know that history. I know that, and that also served to me some benefit. When the Vietnam War was going on, I was totally against the war. We're having a break right now. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Will you take the high road and I'll take the low? And I'll be in Scotland for ye. For me and my true love will never meet again. On the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, right at the very beginning, I don't know how this worked out so well, of the second time this music plays, the Bonnie Banks of Loch Lomond, Ella Roberts. It starts out, says, you'll take the high road, I'll take the low road. I took the low road. I took the low road in 1991, and I announced it to my family. The low road means, to me, you don't have money. And I gave away more money than you have any idea. Because it was that important to me. The good book, you'll find that the only begotten son says, unequivocally he says this, easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. I went, oh, wow, you got to be kidding me. I actually had billions of dollars. So I didn't have a normal upbringing like everybody else. And, you know, the way I got the money was not because somebody handed it to me. I had to go out and do some work. Boys. And all of a sudden, boom, I'm worth this kind of money. Well, when I made my decision, my grandma, two people I respected most at that time. Now, Charles Franklin Taylor also came in. I respected him a ton, but he wasn't my family. And I said, looky here. And they went, oops. And I said, I'm not going to have this money. I'm getting rid of it. 95% of the people in my family got really mad at me. You know, because they weren't going to be able to be getting $1 million a year, you know, which was like pocket change to me. And, you know, I don't regret it one bit. Yes, life is much tougher. Oh, and by the way, just let me go backwards a moment. Burn it. A camel to go through an eye of a needle. Okay, you think you know what a needle is. Well, actually, quite frankly, there's another definition of a needle. In your castles in England, they had escape routes or entry routes that were guarded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Two guys stood on the inside, and if you didn't know the code, off came your head. Well, that was the needle that people went in and out of your castles. And they were about 3 feet tall and 24 inches wide. The only way to get through was on your hands and knees, and, you know, if you didn't have the right code, off came your head. Well, that's how they got people in and out, was through that process. So I just wanted to explain about a camel going through an eye of a needle. It wasn't actually a needle that you sew with, okay? That's the definition of what you find, okay? Now, with this technology that we think we know we have, talking about these smart glasses, we have no idea of how far advanced technology is. Many times they have the technology 10 to 15 years before you even know about it. But we have a man that they say is the leader. So quite frankly, I wouldn't let that individual wipe my dog's rear orifice. That's about as polite as I can be with respect to who I suspect you know who I am talking about. We have an absolute idiot. And on medical purposes, all kinds of other purposes, this man needs to be in a nursing home at best. Now, the next thing I'd like to visit with you is something called the flat earth. I hear people talking about that still. I hear one individual, but I don't know if he's teasing or not teasing about the flat earth. I haven't contacted him. I'm not going to, you know, 70-80% of this guy visits with. You know, hey, man, that's pretty odd, but then he talks about the flat earth. I don't know whether he's teasing me or not. Anyway, flat earth. Let's think about this. If something's flat, it's flat. Would you say that? You have a desktop, it's flat. You have silver dollar. You lay it down, it's flat. And that's the definition I understand for flat. But that's hard for me to apply. The bottom of the half hour break. Be in about 4 minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
Going to the end of the line. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
February is Heart Month. every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What am I getting at? Well, if it's flat and it's round, how thick is it? Have you ever wondered how thick is the planet? Well, if it's completely round and it's a flat Earth, you've got to have an edge. How thick is the edge of the flat Earth? Nobody seems to come up with flat earthers. Nobody can seem to come up with that. And if there's an edge to it, and it's round, and it's flat, how come we can't find that edge? Planes can't get there. I mean, they can't find it. Now, we're supposedly, according to flat earthers, we are on one side, and there's something on the other side. Now, what's on the other side? You mean a jet can't fly around it and see the other side? I'm trying to present a little bit of logic. Well, people that talk about the flat Earth, they're what in the old days we called socius, whatever the latest and greatest new idea. Oh, I got to be the first one in school to do it. And I can remember in eighth grade, all of a sudden, seemed like overnight, all of certain males, young males, were wearing pants that were skin tight, and they were 4 or 5 inches above their ankles. And they thought that was the latest and greatest, and I'm sitting there looking at them and saying, what is the matter with these people? Well, I'm kind of describing some of these things these people do. So anyway, you know, I do know that there's somebody that's on RBN that has been, I think, the longest on air. And I heard him say, you know, I don't even want to talk to this particular caller about that subject. That is ridiculous. Well, I agree with him. It's ridiculous. And I said, you know, I need to do something because I had three men, that were talking about the flat Earth. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to do something, and I'm going to go check something out before I do it. I like doing that. I had a nice ocean fishing boat, and I just decided to go out with just one other person, didn't tell them what I was doing. And I went out specifically when the ocean was like 1 or 2 feet, no big waves. And I was able to measure some things on the land. And the buildings, every floor is about 10 feet. And we started out very close, 100 yards from the ocean. We moved off directly at an east path so that we'd be on that same exact path. And after we went so far, we couldn't see the beach. Amount of a mile, and bingo. Now we could see only the bottom edge of the second floor. And these three guys, and we had binoculars and all that stuff like that. There wasn't a question of not being able to see, it was a question that you can't see the lower stuff. We continued to move out and doing different stops and seeing how more of the building couldn't be seen. Those three men that were taking and entertaining this idea of a flat Earth, they said, my God, everybody should do this. I said, well, everybody can actually do this if they want. All they have to do is get a right triangle, say a 3, 4, 5, right triangle. Right triangle means that's a 90 degree. And one side, the 5, is longer than the 3 and the 4-inch side. And that happens when you take and measure stuff. You can't see because one side's longer than the other. So I then decided, okay, I want to do it another way. And so it was about a month later, I got these three guys, and I said, hey, let's continue on this subject. And I got very, very good binoculars. And I said, okay, what we do is we're all going to get a chair. We'll sit here at the beach. And we're just going to look out and keep looking out. And eventually, I saw the very, very top mast of a ship. I said, okay, guys, look right out that way, boom, straight east. And they could see the very top of a mast. I said, now just keep watching this. Give it about, 5-10 minutes. Could see more of the mast. Well, that process continued until it came in to the inlet at Cape Kennedy. And they said, my God, they said, this is a complete hoax. Yeah. So why am I bringing that up? Because there are people that jump on anything and they don't do any research, but they know everything. And this is the latest and greatest of the idiots is what I say. So you can't just take people's word for it. Now I want to back up just a little bit. Since I had purchased hundreds and hundreds of surveys of land, various sizes, things of that nature, won a monster case in a court because of knowing about this, that somebody did a survey and did it wrong, and then they grabbed some land they weren't supposed to, and they were claiming oceanfront rights. They didn't own that land. It banged, that's the most polite word, $100 million worth of bonds. That's a completely other subject of where I mentioned I won something or helped some people for $100 million. This is a completely different subject. And it banged Dade County, Florida, because they had issued the bonds. And I crushed their bond ratings. Now, you may not know how much money that is, but that's a bunch of money to go from A to B or B to C in your bond rating. Tons of money. It's because when you do a survey, you must have a starting point. And then all of the land that you're measuring must be measured out at that particular elevation. Now, how did west of the Mississippi get FUBAR? Well, let's just take Oklahoma or any number of other states. They said, hey, free land. All you have to do is come out here, get on your horse, get on your wagon, and when we blow the horn, race out there. We've got them all marked. So people raced out there, and they had a flag, and that flag said, in most cases, this is section so-and-so. That's a mile by a mile. And they, if the first guy that got there would pull up the one-colored flag and put their flag right there, and buddy, they got that section. Well, what they didn't know is that the big guys that knew what was part of the deal was they knew where all the sections were that had water. And if you didn't have any water, your section was worthless. You get out there and struggle and fight and so forth like that. You might do okay learning how to live on hardly any water. Some areas less than 5 inches a year. Until a year that only gave you 2 inches, and then they sold out to the rich guys. And they sold out for, nothing. And there were range wars between cattlemen, between all kinds of people, because they said, this is my land. And it wasn't their land. The rich guys came in and they did a proper survey and they said, guess what? You guys are on my land. Get the hell off. And they took their land. And they also whipped them in court. And then they turned around and bought their land for, 10 cents on the dollar, whatever you want to come up with. It destroyed all kinds of good people that fell for this flat earth. They didn't call it flat earth. But that's what they thought they were doing. and they got nailed at that. Good people side by side, that because they didn't understand surveying, got in fights with each other. Good people can get in fights with each other if they don't take the time to do the research. He who fails to study history is doomed to repeat it. I want you to think about that. How much history have you studied? Have you ever said, you know, this is my position, whatever the subject is, and do you go out and you do research after research after research trying to prove your position is incorrect? Whoops, wait a minute. I'm going to go out and try and prove I'm doing something wrong? That was 80% of the training in the courtrooms that I learned. You have a position. You've identified a position. Now you go to work and you work 3, 4, 5 times harder to try and prove your situation. So when you walk into that courtroom, you know when you've done all of it, and none of it matches, to kick your position down. And you win real easily. But if you're sitting there on rumors and BS, you lose in a courtroom. Apply this to your life, please. Do your research. Whatever your position is, work harder on the opposition. Learning, you know, that's the way you prove that your position is good. Unfortunately, I don't know very many people that believe that, because you can go after subject, and various people have swallowed the horse manure that they teach you in school on a constant and continuous basis. Anyway, I hope that you will maybe gather something from that as to, have you done your homework? I mentioned the good book. How many people have actually sat down and read it from cover to cover? I'm not talking about 5-10 minutes a day. I'm talking about, hey, let's sit down and, you know, not what I did, but let's put in 4 hours a day. That's not what I did. I put in 16 hours a day. And then when I got through reading that book, I said, okay, now I'd fast read it. That took me 2.5 to 3 days, bearing in mind 16-hour days. I said, okay, now I'm going to read it at regular speed. At regular speed, it took me about 2.5 to 3 weeks. Now, when I did it at regular speed, I just put a little bitty pencil mark right there by the edge, and then I continue. Well, now, because it's a very, very important subject to me, now I need to read it at slow speed. That took me almost 2 months, 16 hours a day. Now, when I say 16 hours a day, I should have said this. I did not do this stuff on Saturdays and Sundays. I needed a little physical and mental break. Okay. And so, I'm not saying that you have to do that, but why do you allow individuals to sit there and tell you, give us money, and we're going to tell you, just say Jesus and you're saved. I don't know how many times, in me being there present, watching it on TV, just say Jesus and you're saved. Can you show me anywhere in the good book where it says, just say Jesus and you're saved? And by the way, the next words out of their mouth is, donate the money. Donate the money. Church needs his money. Pastor needs to buy himself a new jet plane. What does the good book say? My vineyard is destroyed because of many preachers. It doesn't say every preacher. And I actually cut out about 8 words out of the middle of that. And anyway, it says because of many preachers. What is the history of donating money to the church. Do you know that history, each listener? One listener? Well, in actuality, the Vatican came up with a new idea to take and get more money. And they came up with the idea and they said, guess what? We're going to get our various preachers, priests, and whatever you want to call the terms, because different religions, some call them a priest, some call them a preacher, some call them a pastor. You know, it's ridiculous, all the same thing. And the preachers would say, if you donate $500, and we'll send for you. Well, that started back hundreds of years ago with the kings and queens and dukes and yorks and all that kind of malarkey. They had to get a lot more money because they said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to assign four priests or preachers to pray for you. If you think I'm kidding, go do your homework, go do your research on Christianity. And that's what they've been doing, and they're still doing it today. We're going to pray your way into heaven. People like that, in my opinion, should meet the edge of the sword. They are demonstrating that they are Canaanites. What is a Canaanite? Ooh, do we have a word called cannibalism? They want to eat people. And what's going on right now in the world at a massive rate is they are eating people. They're putting them into circumstances, and people are, their money is gone. They're being destroyed. They're popping them in a hospital. Oh, what do you think they're doing to people in the hospital? You ever heard of this stuff? Well, when somebody dies, they take them and they sell their body parts. And they take the body parts out of this person that is almost dead, and then they freeze them, and then they sell them to somebody else, and that guy gets himself a $100,000 liver or kidney or heart, whatever we're talking about. That's called cannibalism. It's in our entire society at every level. The easiest thing is to talk about the body parts. We're being cannibalized at every level. And we have no power to do anything about it. Think about it. Are the Canaanites, which are cannibals, they eat people. They eat their own people. And they love to eat the people that have good DNA. Have you ever thought of that this way? That when they raise the gas prices, when you know there's tons and tons and tons of material to make gas, and you know they get the price up to where it's bankrupting people, good, hard-working people, trying to drive to work, and the gas is killing them. They would wind up doing nothing, so what do? We can't do anything else. Let's go on welfare. Ah, now we got so many people in America that are on welfare, people are begging. They're giving bonuses, anything. We'll take anybody to come take this job, just to have somebody standing there. They don't know nothing, but they're willing to go there. How many millions of people in America are on welfare? Because they can't make it. Now, they're on the welfare. They're getting some money. But they're still going down the tubes. The good, hard-working people are being destroyed in this country. On purpose. There's a specific timeline about that. I'm not going into that tonight. Okay? You, as an individual, if you're a good guy or a good gal, you are required to learn some things. You are required to stand up. Now, how much good are you going to do? You're going to do yourself a ton of good because you're going to find out that 90% of the people, when you bring up something like, hey, you're not allowed to eat pork. Previous show, there was a guy calling in, talking about how the Chinese have 90% of the pork industry. That doesn't bother me one bit, because you ain't going to get me to eat no pork. It tells you unequivocally you're not allowed to eat pork. That's the father's law. And I'm not going to get cancer and all the other garbage that happens to you if you eat pork. All you have to do is stand up. You know, if you just say, okay, I'm not eating pork, but I'm keeping my mouth shut because I don't want anybody to, I don't want to walk up to them and say, hey, you can't eat pork. And they'll hate me. I don't really give a rat's toenail if somebody hates me because I'm talking about the father's law. I don't give a rat's toenail. Matter of fact, I love it. Hey, they hate me. Well, you know what? And they're not doing anything at all to serve the Father and His only begotten Son. They've identified themselves. They think they know more than the Father in heaven. Those kind of people, I love finding them. Because guess what? Then I know where to put them. I don't have any more confusion about them. And I get around just good, solid people. Wouldn't you like to have one or two good, solid friends as opposed to 100 idiots in your life? And you say, well, you know, I've got an in-law, and if that in-law is an idiot, how am I going to talk to my family member? Just like you would with anybody else. You tell the truth. You cut them with your mouth, with your brain. That is your other sword that you have, ladies and gentlemen. Use your brain at this particular time. I'm not saying forever, by any stretch of the imagination. Use your brain as a sword to delineate who the idiots are and put them where they need to be so they're out of your life. I'm talking strictly mentally now. Not talking physically, not one bit. I'm not saying anything physically. We're not quite at that stage. You, the individual, are responsible for every problem that's in your life. Nobody else is responsible for that problem. I, myself, know that I am responsible for more manure than I can even delineate. I am an individual that kept his mouth shut about a certain subject from after halfway through fourth grade up until I was 41 years old. And since the time I was 41, you know, I hardly have any friends. I don't have 1 or 2% of the friends that I used to have. Now, before 91, everybody in the world wanted me to go on a hunting, go to here, or wanted me to go there. It was amazing. Top of the hour break. Thank you. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.